what God wants you to be. He's working on you so that you can become what He wants you to be. Now, if God is working on you to become what you are supposed to become, there's certain things which you have to let go. Either you feel that you like them, but as long as that God does not like it, you let it go. Allow Him to make you what He wants you to be. The Bible said that our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Always our ways are evil, and our thoughts are evil. We cannot draw God into our thoughts or into our ways because they are not perfect. Then we have to change our ways into His ways. We have to change our thoughts into His thoughts. Because always His thoughts are perfect.
Right.
Now when you come and you see it in the church, try to see that at least you hear what God is saying and open up your heart. Because what He says, that's what He wants you to be. You don't need to be what you want. You need to be what He wants you to be.
Amen.
You don't need to become what you want. You don't need to become what people they want. You need to become what He wants you to be. Maybe sometimes people, they have a way which they want you to be, to behave, but that's not what God wants you to be. Therefore, the best thing is to be what God wants you to be.
Amen.
Don't mind about other people, but once you are what God wants you to be, that's very, very good, and you're going to be blessed. Because He is our Creator. He has got a plan towards us. Then we need to allow Him to make us what He wants us to be. Is that clear? Now I believe that God wants us to have His mentality, kingdom mentality.
Amen.
I started a topic talking about the kingdom mentality. People to have the kingdom mentality. To be mindful about the kingdom of God. Not to think about them. Not to do to build up their kingdom, not to build up what you want, to build up what He wants. Not to do what you want, to do what He wants.
Amen.
Not to live the life which you want, live the life what He wants. Because you are not here on your own. You are here because of Him. You are living because of Him. Even your mom didn't know that He will have you. It was God who knew that your mom is going to have you. It's God who prepared your mom and dad in order to have you. Now you live because of Him. Now that's why we need to have kingdom mentality to see that we can build up the kingdom of God. Father in heaven, let your spirit flow this night, my God, and touch us, Lord. I know that, God, you love us. That's why always you bring us into your presence, Lord, to work on us, my Father. Father, we are ready. We are ready. Come and work on us, my God. Make us what you want us to be. Change us and transform us, my God. Give us the grace to let everything go which is ungodly so that we can pick up what you want us to be, my Father. Holy Spirit, come and minister to your spirit. Come and touch our spirit. Come and transform us. Let your grace and your spirit flow as we're hearing your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. On Wednesday, I started a topic saying kingdom mentality. Yesterday, we went on with the kingdom mentality. We saw that even Jesus, when He came on earth, He was focused on the kingdom of His Father. In all His teaching, in all His ministry, He was talking about the kingdom of His Father. In all His teaching, throughout His ministry, He was talking about the kingdom of His Father. That means that's what God wants. That's what God wanted Jesus to do. And also that's what God wants us to do. Because as I told you that God is a king. A king without a kingdom is not a king.
Right.
Kingdom without a king, that kingdom is not a kingdom. Now, if God is a king, He must have a kingdom. And that kingdom is built up It's built up by somebody. It's built up. It has to be built up, you and me. But you cannot build it up unless you have a kingdom mentality, so that you are mindful about the kingdom of God. Not being mindful about you. Not being mindful about your family all the time. It's good to be mindful about your family. But remember, the kingdom of God. Kingdom mentality. Now, that's Jesus, what he did in him. Yes, we had our blackboard here where I saw that Jesus came and preached the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13, he mentioned about the kingdom of God 10 times. Kingdom of heaven, 10 times in one chapter. Teaching about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13. When you go in Matthew 10, 20, he talks about the same thing. Matthew 22, he talks about the same thing. Even in Matthew 24, he said that even this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, then the end will come. That means that even the end come is going to be closed up by the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
Now, concerning about the kingdom of heaven, God is concerned about that. It has power to transform us. It has power to change us. It has power to bring life in the dying nation. But we cannot see that until somebody, somewhere, is mindful about the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of heaven. Even John the Baptist did that. Now, as Jesus in his ministry was teaching about the kingdom of God, at the same time, he was bringing us back into the fellowship with God. Remember, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Why he was saying repenting? Because sin separated a man with God. Now, a man couldn't cross back to God unless he deal with the sin.
Right.
Now, Jesus, what he wanted is between a man and God to remove that sin which separate him, which separate a man with God. Now, the only way of removing that sin out is you and me to repent, and we come out of our sin. Then after coming out of our sin, we go back and we have fellowship with God.
Right.
Now, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, taking us back into the fellowship with God. Is that clear? He wants us to go back in fellowship. You cannot do the work of God when you don't have a good fellowship with God.
Right.
You cannot touch the lives of people unless you have a good fellowship with God. A fellowship with God is very important. Tomorrow I think I'll be talking about keeping up the fellowship with God. Some people, they don't mind about their fellowship. How are you dealing with your God? How are you working with your God? When it comes on we preachers, we are so good in pointing out those who are seated down. You have to have a fellowship. What of you? You as a leader, you as a preacher, you as a pastor, an apostle, prophet. How is your fellowship with God? Some preachers, they don't mind about their fellowship with God. They're after doing the work of God, but not about their fellowship with God. Well, it's not good you to preach and do everything when your fellowship with God is not good, because you lose everything. Therefore, your fellowship with God is very vital. Then Jesus came and preached the gospel, bringing us back to have the fellowship with our God, so that you can communicate, so that you can hear from God, so that you can speak to your God, so that you can walk with him. Remember, that's what he wanted when he created Adam and Eve. He wanted to have a fellowship, relationship, walking with him, talking with him, you know, communicating with him. He enjoys our fellowship. He enjoys to be with us. That's what he enjoys. Now, Jesus came and brought us back there. Now, when Jesus brought back there, he did another thing, is to make people disciples. After repenting, going back into your position, going back where God wants you to be, going back to have a fellowship with God, he started making people to become disciples in all His ministry, he was not making, having believers, but disciples of Christ.
Right.
Is that clear? Yes. Today we have believers.
Right.
We have church members. I don't say that you shouldn't have a church. I don't say that you don't need to have a church. It's very important as a Christian, as somebody who's born again, to have a church where you belong.
Amen.
But in that church, don't be there as a believer. Don't be there as a member of the church. Be there as a disciple
Amen.
Of Christ. Because that's what Jesus did. After preaching the gospel, he started changing people to become the disciples. Today we have believers. Today we have church members. Today we have church followers, but not disciples.
Right.
God is not interested in church members, not in believers, not in the, you know, church goers. He is interested in disciples. That's what Jesus also did.
Amen.
Is that clear? When you read in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, let's read verse 17. Go down.
From that time, Jesus began to preach
mm-hmm.
and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Mm-hmm. Go on. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee,
mm-hmm.
saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers.
Mm-hmm.
And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
Mm-hmm.
And they straightway left their nets and followed him.
Mm-hmm.
And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren,
mm-hmm.
James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother,
mm-hmm.
in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets.
Mm-hmm.
And he called them. Mm-hmm. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness
mm-hmm.
and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them.
You can stop there. Verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach, to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, he says, and he said unto them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you. In other words, follow me, I'll transform you. Follow me, I'll change you. Now, when you are to follow Jesus, if really you are following Jesus, he has to make you. He has to change you. He has to transform you. She has to make you somebody. She has to work on you. He does not just allow you to follow him, and he does not make you. He told his disciples, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll change you." Now, once somebody comes across Jesus, he has to change him. She has to make him another person. chance to make him a disciple.
Yes.
Not just a believer.
Right.
Not just a follower. Following him, he will change you. Now, why do we not see changes in the church? Because we are not following. We are just a believer. Church goer. Let me tell you that even the devil comes in the church and sit.
Yeah.
Now, if you think that just coming in the church and you enjoy the church and you enjoy the presence, that makes a difference. He does not make difference, because even the devil comes in the church, but the devil will never become a disciple of Christ.
Right.
He will never. Now, when you come in the church, don't come in the church because you're supposed to come in the church. Come in the church because you're willing to follow Christ. One. Secondly, you're willing to Christ to make you what he wants you to be. Thirdly, you are willing to become the disciple of Christ. Some people, they don't want to be discipled. Some people, they don't want to follow. Those who don't want to follow, they want other people to follow them. If you cannot follow somebody, therefore nobody, you shouldn't allow anybody to follow you. Yeah. If you cannot follow somebody, then you shouldn't allow anybody to follow you. You have to follow someone. You have to have somebody who's leading you.
Exactly.
So that you can lead others.
Right.
Now, if you are not willing to be led, then don't allow anybody to come so that you can lead him. Because that cannot work out. Now, that's what Paul said. That follow me as I follow who? Christ.
Exactly.
Paul also was following Christ. Now he allows even other people to follow him because he's following Christ. Paul heard Jesus, his mentor and everything. Also, he told other people, now look at me because I'm following Christ. Now, if you're not following Christ, if you're not a follower, then you are not supposed anybody to follow you. If you have people who are following you when you are not a follower, then there's something wrong. Is that clear? Now, when you follow Christ, he has to make you. Are you transformed since Christ came, since you gave your life to Christ? Have you transformed since you become a Christian and join the church where you are? Are you transformed? Are you changing? Really, God is making something out of you. I'm not here to excite you and say, yeah, you are going to make it. I want you to make it with godly principles. Because when you read the Bible, everything of God is if. If you do this, I'll do this.
That's right.
If you do this, I'll do this. People, they are so interested in God doing what they want God to do, when they don't rather to do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
God, you say that you make me a head. Yeah, he's ready to make you a head. He has to do that. But read it very carefully. He says that when you obey me and you submit to my voice, then I'll make you the head. Now, are you obeying him? Are you following his voice in order him to make you the head? Now, you want him to bless you, but you're not willing to do your part. There's a part for you, there's a part for God. God will never do his part before you do your part. You're the first person to do your part. I have a message which I preach in Uganda. It says that always God takes the second step. You take the first, he takes the second. If you have not taken your first step, you'll never take his second. But people all the time want God to take the first and everything. No way. He will never do that. Always you are to take the first step. He's the God of the second step. He's waiting for his step. Put up your step, then he will start up his step. Always God is the God of the second step. If you are willing and you obey, then you will. That means it's your first step, willing to obey. Then You eat the good things of the land.
Right.
If you're willing, he says, he told these people, follow me. That is what their first step of following him. The second step was for him to make them fishers of men. Now, it's your step of following him. And here's his work to make you a fishers of men.
Exactly.
It's your first step to follow him and be willing to make him what he wants you to be. Don't give him instruction. Don't tell him that, God, I think you better make me in this way. No. He knows better.
Amen.
Now, he told the people that, follow me. I will make you. When you follow Christ, he has to make you.
That's right.
He has to change you. He has to make you another person. Not that person whom they used to know. Not that person who was non-teachable. Whereby then nobody can teach him, nobody can speak to his life. When he makes you and changes you, he wants you to be teachable. To submit. He wants you to become his disciple. Now Jesus called them and said, okay, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Because they were fishers of men, he told them that I'll make you fishers of men. In other words, what he meant, that I'll make you my disciples.
Yep.
Not a disciple of Steve. I don't need to have a disciple. You get me? I don't need to have a disciple. I was called to make people disciples of Christ.
Amen.
Is the only man who's reserved to have disciples.
Right.
But today we make even our disciples.
Yep.
My disciples. Be very careful with certain words which you are confessing. The disciples of Christ. Not your disciples.
Right.
I'll make you the fishers of men. Now, Jesus. This means, as I told you, that he start working on making people disciples. Here he told them that, please, you need to follow me and I'll make you. In John chapter 8, verse 30. John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. Read there.
As he spake these words, many believed on him.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
Hallelujah. When he spoke those words, many believed in him. When they believed in him, he was excited. He was so excited. Maybe in your Bible. In my Bible, I'm not seeing that when they believed in him, Jesus, he was excited.
No.
He was not excited.
No, they were still
good. He didn't make noise and say, yeah, I have got them. I have them. No way. He told them, wait a minute. If then, he said to those Jews who believed on him, if you shall continue in my word, then you shall be my disciple in death. That means when you believe in his word, God is not so excited because you have believed.
Right.
Because even the devil believes.
That's right.
Jesus, God does not make noise and jump where he is seated because somebody believes. Because he knows that even the devil can do that. But what he's interested in it, he says that if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple. Indeed. That means that after believing, you need to continue into his word to make you, to change you and become the disciple of Christ.
Amen.
Now, each member in the church, he has to become a disciple of Christ. Each member in the church. We have to have disciples, not the believers. We have to have disciples who have got kingdom mentality to go out and witness and do something for God. Why people, they are dying outside. Because we don't have our own disciples.
Right.
We don't have disciples. And even some leaders, they are not after that. They are after having their disciples, having their own people in the church. Read something in Detroit. I preached about the church of Gideon. Gideon had the big church in those days, but his church wasn't strong. It was the biggest church, but weak church. It's very easy to have a big church, hundreds of Christians, but when it's weak church. Although some people now, when they see that big church has got hundreds of Christians, they think that that's the biggest church. That's the powerful church. Who told you? Sometimes those are weak church.
Amen.
Gideon had a whole lot of people. But when God come and spoke to him, he told them that go and speak to their ears. They are faithful.
Yep.
Those who are afraid, let them go back home.
Yep.
He was amazed that a big number went back home. Yeah. 22,000, they had to go back home. That means he had a big church, but when they're not strong. He had a big church, but when they're not, they don't have kingdom mentality. They have a big church, but they are not transformed to become the real disciples.
Right.
We can have a big church, but when we don't have the disciples of Christ, God is after the disciples, not the believers.
Amen.
Jesus, he told them that if you continue my word, you shall be my disciples. Not anybody's disciples, but the disciples of Christ. We need each one of us to become the disciples, not to just sit in the church and watch what is going on.
Amen.
We need to be part of what God is going,
exactly.
What God is doing.
Exactly.
Not to watch what God is doing. We need to become the disciples of Christ. Now, Jesus also, in his ministry, as he went on making up the disciples, changing people, transforming them, becoming his disciples, he started even communicating with the disciples, not the believers. Let me put it right. God does not communicate to the believers. He communicates to the disciples.
Right.
God does not speak to the believers. He speaks to the disciples.
Right.
God does not use believers. He uses disciples. If you want God to use you, become a disciple. A disciple. When you want God to speak to you, become a disciple. When you want God to say anything, become a disciple of Christ, then Christ will talk to you. I'm going to prove that in the Bible. All the days of Jesus in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We are reading verse 1. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him,
mm-hmm.
and he opened his mouth and taught them.
Teaching who?
The disciples.
He said that after seeing the multitude, he went up to a mountain, and when he had sat down, his disciple came unto him, and he opened up his mouth and taught them. Not the multitudes. The Bible said that after seeing the multitudes, Jesus went on a mountain. That means he left the multitudes. He went on the mountain, then his disciple came and started opening his mouth, speaking to the disciple, not to the multitudes.
Exactly.
Now, God speaks to the disciples who have got the kingdom mentality. Remember Paul what he wrote. He wrote to the Timothy and told him that, please, commit these words to the faithful men.
Right.
Who are able to do what? to teach others. Now, why Jesus had to teach the disciples? Because they were faithful people who are able to teach others. God does not want everybody to come and just speak to him when he knows that they cannot teach others. That's why he called the disciples. Paul told Timothy that commit these words to the faithful men who are able to teach others, not everyone who is not even able.
Right.
Now, why Jesus had to talk to his disciples? Because they were faithful and they were able to teach other people. Are you getting me? You are my friends. But concerning about the kingdom of God, we need to raise up and do something.
Yes.
We need to raise up and do something. We need to allow God to change us and we become his disciples.
Yes.
In our church in Uganda, I tell each and everybody, don't think that you come in this church just to warm up benches and chairs. You came in this church to profit. To profit. That's what the Bible says. That God gives us all those gifts in order to profit.
Right.
In his kingdom. Not to warm the church. Not to see other people doing things and say, and you clap the hands. We are not, here you call it soccer. Football. In Uganda we call it soccer. Because when you are in the football ground, there's other people seated around the football ground making noise. Yeah. God is not interested in those who are making noise. God does not need supporters. He needs people to be involved.
Amen.
In what he's doing.
Amen.
That's what he wants.
Amen.
Now, if you come in the church, you think that you are there to support those who are doing what they are doing. You are in the wrong place.
Amen.
Jesus spoke to his disciples. In Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples.
He called what?
His disciples.
Not multitudes.
No, he didn't call multitudes.
He called
He didn't call the believers either.
Non-believers. Maybe churchgoers.
No, church members, no churchgoers.
Okay, non-believers, no church members, no churchgoers. Okay, go on.
So he called unto him his disciples. And of them, he chose 12.
Out of the disciples, that's where he chose 12.
Yes.
Not out of the believers. But out of the disciples. He called the disciples. Now, in the midst of the disciples, he chose 12. Now, if all of us, we are disciples of Christ, in the midst of us, that's where he chose apostles, prophets, and everybody. But all of us, we have to be disciples. Not
Amen.
In the believers. Not in churchgoers. If today you are churchgoer, please, I'm calling you to allow Christ to do what he wants you to do. Allow him to transform you. You are not supposed to be a church goer, but a disciple. Out
Amen.
Of the disciples, he chose 12 of them whom were called an apostles. Can you go on?
Whom also he named apostles.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to name? Go. Read all their names?
You can read them. Let them hear it.
Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James, John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called Zelotes,
mm-hmm.
and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples.
Company of what?
His disciples, his disciplined followers.
Good! Company with his disciples. Not believers, but with his disciples. Remember, Jesus in his ministry, he was followed by multitudes. But concerning communicating and doing certain work, he wanted disciples, not the multitudes.
Right.
His,
and the company of his disciples,
mm-hmm.
and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and
mm-hmm.
Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon,
mm-hmm.
which came to hear him,
mm-hmm.
and to be healed of their diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him,
mm-hmm.
for there went virtue out of him,
mm-hmm.
and healed them all.
Mm-hmm.
And he lifted up his eyes mm-hmm. on his disciples,
mm-hmm.
and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God."
Stop there. You hear verse 28, 20? He said that, "I lift up his eyes on his disciples. And he spoke to them and said, blessed ye are poor." Who? His disciples. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples. On the multitudes, he was healing them. Healing their diseases. When he wants to communicate or to talk, he talks with the disciples. Am I making sense to you? He talks with the disciples. Matthew's healing them. Matthew's giving them food. Matthew's casting out devils. Communicating to his disciples. Speaking to his disciples. Not to the Matthew's. God, he knows that he wants the disciples where that he can communicate, he can give them what they're supposed to do, and to do to the multitudes. Now all of us, we must be disciples of Christ. Today the church is weak because most of the people, they are followers.
Right.
The church is not powerful because the people, they are not followers. And I don't blame people. Most of the time, I blame we leaders. Because we have not made people to become what they are supposed to become. We have not prepared them for the work. We want them to be in one place, which is not bad. But let them be in one place by doing certain things, going out, bringing people into the kingdom of God, being involved in everything of the God, of the kingdom of God. Recently, we went with Apostle Bill before he went to California. We visited, he took me to a certain sister and he told me that he was married to a pastor. Then the pastor died. Then I asked the pastor Bill as we were coming back, then what of the church? Then he told me that the day when the pastor died, even the church closed up. Why do we have such a church as we are closing up when somebody is dead? Because you find that he was the only person in the church. Other people, they were believers.
Right.
Other people, they are followers. Now, because he's gone, then we have to close up the church because we believers, we can do nothing. That's not the system of God. That's not the minds of God. God, he wants all of us to be disciples, to do something in the kingdom of God. If he calls me back home, then other people, they can take up the ministry.
Amen.
The ministry can go on. If I'm not there, ministry can still going on because Christ is not dead.
Amen.
He's the builder of the church. He's the owner of the church. But when somebody dies, even the church is closed. Why these days in your nation people are closing up the churches? Some, they say, the churches are closed because they cannot pay bills. Because people, they are very few. Why? Why people are few in the church when outside there are plenty of people? Why the church, instead of growing, why it's closing up? Because the leader of the church did not make people what they're supposed to be. The people within the church, they were not disciples, they were believers. If they were disciples, they could do everything which they can so that the church can expand and do what it has to be. But nowadays, the churches are closing up. Maybe you have not known them, but since I started traveling in the United States, I have found some churches which are closed down. In UK, Muslims are buying the churches. Muslims are turning church into mosques. Imagine here, some of your churches, they are turning them into bars. People where they used to worship God, now drunkards and adulterers and all that, now they're in that church. People say, hey, that church, that viewing was used to be a church. But there is a bar, people that are boozing there, you know, drugs are there. Why? It's because people in the church, they are no longer disciples, they don't have kingdom mentality, that's why the church is going. Amen. We need to go back and we become disciples. Here we have seen Jesus in Luke chapter 6, he was talking with the disciples, he called his disciples, he spoke to disciples, not the believers. Now, if my sister and brother, let me give you this announcement. If you want God to talk to you, you need to become the disciples of Christ. Amen. If you want God to call you, you need to become a disciple, not a believer. He will never call you and speak to you when you are a believer. That's the announcement. Therefore, find up a church, be a good disciple. Then Christ will talk to you. Christ will communicate to you. That's what he does. When you read in John, when you read in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, verse 21 to 24.
From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples, the disciples followers, how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
You hear? The Bible said that from that time Jesus started speaking to his disciples what is going to happen on him. This, I can take it as a secret of Jesus because he had his secret. He knew what was going to happen on him. Now what he did not call the multitudes to tell them what was going to happen on him. He called the disciples and told them, you guys, look here. Anytime I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be destroyed. Sinners are going to kill me. Now, he was sharing what was in his heart. He was sharing what was going to happen on him. Speaking to his disciples. He told his disciples that if a man wants to follow me, let him come on my cross, his cross, and follow me. He spoke to his disciples. Now, if Jesus, in his ministry, he raised up the disciples, what are we supposed to do? That's a question. If Jesus, in his ministry, he raised up the disciples, what are we supposed to do? Good. If Jesus, in his church, he had disciples, what do we supposed to do? Because Jesus was the pastor of his church. But he raised disciples. In his church, he had disciples. What do we supposed to do? If Jesus is our example, yesterday I told you that we have the mind of Christ. If the mind of Christ was to raise disciples, what do we supposed to do? Good. If in the church of Christ he had the disciples, what do you have to be? Good. Are you a disciples of Christ? That question, it's very difficult to answer in our generation. We find some people saying, I don't want to be involved in what's going on in the church. I want just to sit down here and I watch. That means you're not a disciple. I don't want to be anywhere in the church. I'll be at home. Yeah, that means you're not a disciple. You know, the church has got many problems. That means you're not a disciple. Because if the church has problems, that's good, the church to have problems. Because the disciples are there to solve those problems. You are to solve the problems, not to run away from the problems.
Amen.
You are to put in order, but to hide yourself. Yeah. I don't want a problem. I don't want this problem of the church. I don't. I'd rather start home and watch my television. That television deceives you.
Amen.
That television, the devil is using it to deceive you. He does not know that you are watching him. That preacher whom you are watching, he will never give accountability one day about you when you stand before God. You will never stand before behind Ben Hinn and say, "Now, you know, Ben Hinn, I used to watch you every day. Therefore, I'll stand behind you so that you can give accountability." He will tell you that, preacher, I don't know you. That means you need a church, you need a pastor, you need to be somewhere, somebody who's going to give accountability on your life. One day, I was in a certain conference. Then I told people that I'm waiting. The day when we shall go before our Lord Jesus, you are going to see what is going to be there. Because people that will be jumping from here, there, to there, here, to there, to look for someone who can give accountability about before them to Christ, nobody will. I was in your church for 2 days. No. You were in my church for 2 days. Now, after 2 days, I've never seen you. I don't know what's going on within you. Pastor Steve, I was in your church for 1 month. Thank you. You were in my church for 1 month, but I cannot stand on you to give accountability. No. You see people looking for somebody to give accountability on them when nobody. When they stand before God. Because the Bible said that those who are leading you, they are watching over you.
Right.
Why? Because one day they are going to stand before God to give accountability. Now, nobody will give accountability on somebody whom he does not know. Nobody will give accountability on somebody who sees, he saw him in the church for 2 months and he disappears. Nobody will give. Even me, I won't. I don't know you. Now look for somebody to give accountability on you. Then you move every pastor and say, no, we don't do it. You better look for a way somebody to give accountability on you. But we are not ready. Now, a disciple has to have somewhere where he comes from so they can go out and do the work of God.
Amen.
God speaks to the disciples. If Jesus had the disciples, in our churches also we have to have the disciples. If Jesus raised up the disciples, we have to raise the disciples. So that they can go out and bring people in the church. So that they can witness. So they can become part of what God is doing in the church. In this, God is doing a great work. But he's looking for people who are there to stand. He's looking for disciples, not matriots, not noisemakers. Because we have noisemakers, not noisemakers, but disciples.
Amen.
It's very easy to make noise when you're not disciples. You are not disciplined. Me? That's good.
That's right. I like it.
Yeah. If you love him, that's good. God uses the disciples. He does not use the believers, not the churchgoers, but the disciples. Read in Luke chapter 9. Chapter 9 from verse 1.
Then he called his 12 disciples,
mm-hmm.
as disciplined followers,
mm-hmm.
together,
mm-hmm.
and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases.
Mm-hmm. Verse 2.
And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
You hear? Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. Over the devil. Power and authority over the devil. And send them to go and preach the kingdom of God. Healing the sick. He called the disciples, not the multitudes. He uses the disciples. He gives power to the disciples. He sent the disciples. Go out and do something. Go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Go out and heal the people. Go out and bring life in the people. Go out. Those are disciples, not the multitudes. Those are disciples, not the believers. Those are disciples, not the churchgoers. Not the church members, but disciples. If you want to be used of God, allow God to change you and become his disciple. Be involved in everything which is going on. Make yourself busy in the house of God to build. Be mindful. Think about his kingdom. Do something for his kingdom. Be there for his kingdom. Give even your life for his kingdom. You people are so blessed in this nation. When I come and miss... I walk around your churches. I see what's going on here. This can know who they have. You have a lot of things here that you can use in order to be effective in your nation and not only over the world. Do you know that we have some good things which comes from the United States and it affects all the nations? We have even also the bad things which come from the United States and it affects all the nations. Credit crunch, it started from where? Huh? Credit crunch.
Credit crunch.
Started from where?
Huh?
In the United States. Yeah. But it has affected each and every nation. UK, they are closing up their companies. People, they don't have jobs. In Africa, it started from here, but it has affected all the world. Now, if, let me say that all the people in the United States, they become kingdom mentality, do you see how they can affect the entire world? Do you see it? There's other things which started from here and have affected in the United States. That's where that's the place where I heard when they're allowing gays to be married. It was here in the United States. But do you know that also has gone up in Africa? It has gone up in Africa. There's a friend of mine in the UK. He told me that, Pastor, he's waiting because even his church, his ministry, they are discussing about that. Either they allow them also to be wedded. Now these pastors told me that I'm waiting. Once they announce it, once they agree it, me, I'm going to look for another ministry. I cannot cope up with them. But it started here, now here, UK, in Africa. One day our president stood up on the radio, on the television, and said that once we hear that you are a gay and we get you here, we are going to kill you.
Wow.
We don't need that here.
Wow.
He announced it on the television, on the radio, in the papers, and said that once you get one, he has to be killed. Then other people they will see. Do you know what happened? United States, UK and other European nations, they told him, unless you withdraw it, if not, we are not going to support you. We are not going to give you any money. Then from that day, our president kept quiet. Yeah. Recently also, they made their service and started waiting one another. That president had nothing to say because he wants to be supported. Now you see, something which can start here, it affects each and every nation. Now if you people, you become all the disciples of Christ, and you have kingdom mentality, you are able to transform each and every nation.
Wow.
Each and every nation. You have that potential. If the good thing can come out of you and affect Africa, and the bad thing comes out and affect Africa, then even that can come out of you and affect Africa. You can transform each and every nation. Now what you need is the church to come back on its right foundation and have people have the kingdom mentality. Then you'll be able to take the gospel of Christ everywhere. In our schools, the teachers, in our syllabus, we had somebody at least who was supposed to teach about God in schools. Now, because some of your nations here, they don't allow that, they have that law to see that they kick out God from schools. Now they have pushed it even in Africa. Right now, even in my nation, it's in the members of parliament. They're discussing about it. To see that they don't want to hear anybody talking about God in schools. But it started from here. Are you getting me? What I want you to get in your mind is to know that if really you become kingdom mentality, you have potential to touch each life, each nation around the world. And you transform it. In Africa, some people, some nations, they are seeing United States as a model. Yeah. They want to put on like American. They want to speak like American. They want to do everything like American. Now everything which is done here, do you see? Here you have boys, they put that way how they their trousers. It's in Uganda. Yeah. Yeah, it's in Uganda. When I was driving with a certain pastor who came from here, he told me that, hey, guy, pastor, do you have even such a people? I said, I told him they come from here. He said, yeah. Then he told me that thing started into a certain prison. It's the signs of gays. Now our people, our young people, they are putting on, they think that it's a style of putting on. Because they see Americans, they're putting it. You know? But it's a sign of gays. Men who are married, who are marrying men to men. Now, we need to come back. And we be the disciples of Christ. Let our kingdom mentality, you are able to affect each and every nation. I don't want you people one day to stand before God and God judges you every potential which has given you to affect all the nation. Instead of affecting with the gospel of the kingdom, now you're affecting it with other things. Is that clear? We need to raise up and build up our fellowship with God. And we allow God to make us what He wants us to be. Let us be the disciples of Christ. Let us take the gospel of Christ. Let us live the life of the kingdom of God. Let other people see us that we are in different kingdom. Let them admire our kingdom. Let them cross over to come into the kingdom where we are. But sometimes when they look at you, they are not born again, they are not Christian, you behave like them. Then they say, how can now we cross there when we are the same like them? They don't forgive, you don't forgive. They hate you, do you hate? You know, everything they do, that's what you are doing. Now how are they going to come here? We are not transformed.
Wrong disciples.
We need to allow God. Now, even Jesus, as I'm about to finish up, even Jesus, after knowing that he has finished all his work, he gave the great commission to his disciples.
Yep.
In Matthew chapter 28,
verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him.
Mm-hmm.
But some doubted.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Mm-hmm.
And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
You hear? Then the 11 disciples, they went away into glory. The 11 disciples. That's the 11 disciples went into Galilee. Then he appeared to them. He did not appear to the believers. Not some members of the church of a certain somewhere. Not the disciple of a certain pastor somewhere. But his disciples, then he appeared to him, to them. And some, they worshipped him, and they doubted. Then he said unto them, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, teach and make them disciples. The other version are saying that to teach all the nation. Other version says, make them my disciples. He told them that go, not to sit, go out. Preach unto them. Make them disciples. All the nations. Not some of the nation. All the nation. Make them disciples. Now, after Jesus making people disciples, changing this, them being disciples in everything, now the great commission which he gave us is to go out and preach to them the gospel. When we bring them in, we make them disciples. Not to go out and we bring them and we make them believers. Not to go out and bring them and make them members of the church. Not to go out and bring them and make them churchgoers. No. When you will go out, bring them in the church, make them disciples, teach them to become disciples. That is the Great Commission. Make them to be disciples. Baptize them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yesterday I told you that we have people who are in the church for years, but they're not baptized. They're not baptized. If you are here, you're not baptized. Hey, there's a question mark. We need to baptize people. It's biblical, not immersing to them, but baptizing them. You know? Not sprinkling to them, but baptizing, to immerse them. Let them enter under the water.
Amen.
Let them die with Christ and raise with Him. Let them bury the old man and come out with a new man.
Amen.
But these days, pastors, we don't talk about that. We just want to keep our people to be there. They are not taught, they are not disciples, they are not baptized. What are we doing? You know, Pastor, I fear water. If you're a follower of Christ, you shouldn't do what you want, do what He wants.
Amen.
Now, if Jesus Himself, He was baptized, what of you?
There you go.
If Jesus, He was baptized, He told John, the priest, we have to fulfill all righteousness. And He was baptized. Now, what are you telling me? If Jesus did that, what of you? You know, Pastor, I don't know what I know. What I know is the Bible. The Bible tells me to teach you and make you disciple and baptize you. That's all. We need to be baptized.
Amen.
We need to baptize people. If you're here, you're not baptized, go and ask your pastor, please, Pastor, when are you baptizing me? Don't tell me that, you know, when I was in my former somewhere, they poured water before. That's not baptism.
Right.
God did not tell us that we have to pour our water on our forehead. No way. He said that we have to be immersed. When we are being immersed, we are dying together with Christ.
Right.
When we come out of water, that means we are raising with Christ.
That's right.
We are burying the old man.
Yes.
We are raising up with a new man who was created in the image of God.
Amen.
Now, that means when you're not baptized, you have not died with Christ. You have not raised with Christ. You are not buried even the old man. You are still living with your old man. I'm not here to scare you, but that is the truth. I'm not there here to judge you, but that is the truth. That's what we are supposed to do. I have seen it where I've been traveling. You talk about baptism, other people, they don't know what is baptism. They don't know. I have seen churches, some ministers, you sit with them and talk about baptism. They know we have never been baptized. Even the pastor does not talk about that. Then where are we going?
Exactly.
Other people, they are baptized when they don't know why they are baptized. The way they are baptized. When you ask them the reason why they... You know, I found my pastor was organizing the baptism, so I joined them. I just went. You know, in the morning, your pastor came in the morning and said, now today, if you are not baptized, let's go behind here and we baptize you. Why are you baptized? What's the reason? You have to know that.
Yeah.
We need to teach you what is baptism so that you can enter into water knowing what you are doing.
Yeah.
Because I know that if we teach you and you know why you are baptized, one day also you baptize other people.
Yeah.
It's very bad to baptize you when you don't know why you are baptized. That means that even in the future you are going to baptize people the same way how they baptize you. Because you didn't know that, also you just get people and... Now I'm concerned about that. In our church, I tell people that I'm concerned about the future. Because I know that you are becoming preachers, becoming pastors, becoming apostles. Now, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, that means you are going to affect another 100 people. If I don't give you what I'm supposed to give you, if I don't teach you what I'm supposed to teach you, if you don't become what you're supposed to become, then also another 100 people, they're going to be affected because of you. Now, if I teach you what you are supposed to be taught, then that means I'm teaching another 100 people. Whereby that one day when you are going to stand before him, you are before them, you are going to teach them what I taught you. That means now I'm teaching another generation. But today, some pastors are killing the generations. They're just looking at the people who are seated before them. But behind those people, there's generation and generation. You are killing the generations. If you don't make these people disciples, that means even the coming generation, they will never become disciples. If you don't baptize these people, that means even the coming generation, it won't be that. If you don't teach them why they are supposed to be baptized, even the coming generation, that's what's going to happen. Amen. Now, stop, don't look at where you are, look to the generations that are coming. Make people they are supposed to become. If you teach them to have a good relationship with them, with God, it might be that you are teaching another generation. Because these people, they will go into other people. They will teach them exactly what you have been teaching them. Now you are teaching another generation. Either you are bringing life to another generation, either you are killing another generation. Jesus, he gave us that commission to make people disciples. Now, are we doing that? Are you a disciple? I believe that we have missionaries here. We have people who are going to stand up to support the missionaries. We have pastors here. We have leaders here in different, you know. But unless you allow God to make you his disciple, his disciplined follower, unless you do that, then you cannot become what you're supposed to become.
Amen.
Therefore, tonight, I want to pray with you. All of you are going to line up here. You are going to join me. We are going to raise our hands. You come over here. We are going to raise our hands on you. We need every gift within you. Let it be stirred up. We need you to become the disciples of Christ. We need God to raise the grace upon you to submit to him. Let him make you what he wants you to be. You are not supposed to be a churchgoer. You are supposed to be a disciple.
Amen.
There's a gift within you. There's something which God has hidden within you, which you have to move out and do something in his kingdom. There's something in you. That's why God wants you to become a disciple. He told his disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Then you will go and witness. God does not want anybody just to sit down and do nothing in his kingdom. That's why he's giving us his spirit, so that we can witness. All of us, we can witness.
Exactly.
But we just keep quiet and see the nation is dying. We see people are dying. We see even your fellow children are dying on drugs. Never. I don't know. God knows. Yeah, God knows. But what have you done? You are his eyes. You are his mouth.
Amen.
You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his body. He cannot come down and do what he wants to do. He cannot send the angels on the streets. You are the one to do that.
Amen.
You look for him. You speak on his behalf. You, everything. You are his body. Through you, that's how he touched the nations. Now, when you fold up your hands, then he will never touch the nation. When you don't speak, he will never touch the nation. If you don't stand for his kingdom, he will never do nothing. He will do nothing. Church, let's stand up and do what you are supposed to do for God.
Amen.
You have all opportunity. Use them. Use them. in our nation here in Africa, if what God is doing in Africa, if we can have all the money, we could change upside down our nations. Everything which you have here, if we can have them there, we can change our nation upside down. But you have everything, potential, friends, but you're relaxing. You are so, you know. Come over and pray. All of you right up here. Anointing oil. Anointing oil.
Yes.